Up there he is.
Good morning,
Jason.
everybody,
Here
and welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call. This is Thursday, January 5th, 2012. It's a great day to be alive. Today is a miracle. You are a miracle. We're going to learn about a miraculous story today that will absolutely stagger the imagination and really drive home some of these things we've been learning on the call. So, Mr. Bill Hartrap, are you ready?
Yes, sir. I sure am.
The call is
yours,
my friend. Doing great.
How are you doing this morning, Paul?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing terrific.
Today's the best day of my life, man. It really is.
It's the best day of my life. My goodness. I mean, what would I do if I had $1 million, Paul? What would I do?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. That's kind of the story we're going to read today for everybody. And remember, we've been talking about ideas and inspiring ourselves. And so today we're going to finish the chapter on the fifth way to create riches for yourself. What would I do if I had $1 million? This story proves the truth of that old saying, where there's a will, that's why I'm named William, there's a way. It was told to me by that beloved educator and clergyman, the late Frank W. Gonzalez, who began his preaching career in the Stockyards region of South Chicago. While Dr. Gonzalez was going through college, he observed many defects in our educational system, defects which he believed he could correct if he were the head of a college. His deepest desire was to become the directing head of an educational institution in which young men and women would be taught to learn by doing. He made up his mind to organize a new college in which he could carry out his ideas without being handicapped by orthodox methods of education. He needed $1 million to put the project across. Where was he to lay his hands on so large a sum of money? That was the question that absorbed most of this ambitious young preacher's thought. But he couldn't seem to make any progress. Every night he took that thought to bed with him. He got up with it in the morning. He took it with him everywhere he went. He turned it over and over in his mind until he became a consuming obsession with him, till it became a consuming obsession with him. $1 million is a lot of money. He recognized that fact. But he also recognized the truth that the only limitation is that which one sets up in one's own mind. That's powerful right there. Being a philosopher as well as a preacher, Dr. Gonzalez recognized, as do all who succeed in life, that definiteness of purpose is the starting point from when one must begin. He recognized, too, that definiteness of purpose takes on animation, life, and power when backed by a burning desire to translate that purpose into its material equivalent. He knew all these great truths, yet he did not know where or how to lay his hands on $1 million. The natural procedure would have been to give up and quit by saying, my idea is a good one, but I can't do anything with it because I never can procure the necessary $1 million. That is exactly what the majority of people would have said, but it's not what Dr. Gonzalez said. What he said and what he did are so important that I now introduce him and let him speak for himself. And I quote, "One Saturday afternoon, I sat in my room thinking of ways and means of raising the money to carry out my plans. For nearly 2 years, I'd been thinking, but I had done nothing but think. The time had come for action. I made up my mind, then and there, that I would get the necessary $1 million within a week. How? I was not concerned about that. The main thing of importance was the decision to get the money within a specified time. Gosh, I'm facing the same situation myself. And I want to tell you that the moment I reached a definite decision to get the money within a specified time, a strange feeling of assurance came over me." Oh my God, was this written for me, Paul? "Such as I had never, ever experienced before. Something inside me seemed to say, why didn't you reach that decision a long time ago? The money was waiting for you all the time. Things began to happen in a hurry. I called the newspapers and announced I would preach a sermon the following morning entitled, What I Would Do If I Had $1 Million. I went to work on the sermon immediately. But I must tell you, frankly, the task was not difficult because I had been preparing that sermon for almost 2 years. The spirit back of it was part of me. Long before midnight, I had finished writing the sermon. I went to bed and slept with a feeling of confidence, for I could see myself already in possession of $1 million. Next morning, I arose early, went into the bathroom, read the sermon, then knelt on my knees and asked that my sermon might come to the attention of someone who would supply the needed money. While I was praying, I again had that feeling of assurance that the money would be forthcoming. In my excitement, I walked out with my sermon and did not discover the oversight until I was in my pulpit and about ready to begin delivering it. It was too late to go back for my notes, and what a blessing that I couldn't go back. Instead, my own subconscious mind yielded the material I needed. When I rose to begin my sermon, I closed my eyes and spoke with all my heart and soul of my dreams. I not only talked to my audience, but I fancy I talked also to God. I told what I would do with $1 million if that amount were placed in my hands. I described the plan I had in mind for organizing a great educational institution where young people would learn to do practical things and at the same time develop their minds. When I finished and sat down, a man slowly arose from a seat about 3 rows from the rear and made his way toward the pulpit. I wondered what he was going to do. He came into the pulpit, extended his hand, and said, Reverend, I liked your sermon. I believe you can do everything you said you would if you had $1 million. To prove that I believe in you and your sermon, if you will come to my office tomorrow morning, I will give you the $1 million. My name is Philip Armour. Young Gonzalez went to Mr. Armour's office, and $1 million was presented to him. With the money, he founded the Armour Institute of Technology. That is more money than the majority of preachers ever see in an entire lifetime. Yet the thought impulse back of the money was created with the preacher's mind in a fraction of a minute. The necessary $1 million came as a result of an idea. Back of the idea was a desire, which young Gonzalez had been nursing in his mind for almost 2 years. Observe the important fact here. He got the money within 36 hours after he reached, in his own mind, a definite decision in his own mind to get it and decided upon a definite plan for getting it. That's so powerful. Definite decision in his own mind to get it and decided upon a definite plan for getting it. I mean, we've talked many, many times, both Paul and I, about if you don't have a defining purpose, if you don't know the amount of money, if you don't know the nut you have to crack each month in order to get what it is you want to get, in order to create payment for your bills and so that you can continue on, if you don't have that defining purpose and a plan of action in place, it ain't going to happen, folks. I know that's bad English. There was nothing new or unique about young Gonzalez, vague thinking about $1 million and weakly hoping for it. Others before him and many since his time have had similar thoughts, but there was something very unique and different about the decision he reached on that memorable Saturday when he put vagueness into the background and definitely said, I will get that money within a week. God seems to throw himself on the side of the man who knows exactly what he wants. If he is determined to get just that. Moreover, the principle through Dr. Gonzalez got his $1 million is still alive. It is available to each and every one of us. The universal law is as workable today as it was when the young preacher made use of it so successfully. This book describes step by step the 13 elements of this great law and suggests how they might be put to use. Observe that Asa Candler and Dr. Frank Gonzalez had one characteristic in common. Both knew the astounding truth that ideas can be transmuted into cash through the power of definite purpose plus definite plans. Ideas can be transmuted into cash through the power of definite purpose, a defining purpose, and plus your definite plans. If you're one of those who believe that hard work and honesty alone will bring riches, perish the thought. It's not true. Riches, when they come in huge quantities, are never the result of hard work. Riches come, if they come at all, in response to definite demands based upon the application of definite principles and not by chance or luck. Just sitting around waiting for something to happen, people, it isn't going to happen. Generally speaking, an idea is an impulse of thought that impels action by an appeal to the imagination. All master salesmen, promoters, know that ideas can be sold where merchandise cannot. Ordinary salesmen do not know this. That is why they are ordinary. A publisher of books, which sell for a nickel, made a discovery that should be worth much to publishers generally. He learned that many people buy titles and not contents of books. By merely changing the name of one book that was not moving, his sales on that book jumped upward more than a million copies. The inside of the book was not changed in any way. He merely ripped off the cover bearing the title that did not sell and put on a new cover with a title that had box office value. That, as simple as it may seem, was an idea. It was imagination. There is no standard price on ideas. The creator of ideas makes his or her own price. And if he or she is smart, they get it. The movie picture industry created a whole flock of millionaires. Most of them were men who couldn't create ideas, but they had the imagination to recognize ideas when they saw them. The next flock of millionaires will grow out of the radio business, which is new and not overburdened with men of keen imagination. Paul, the money will be made by those who discover or create new and more meritorious radio programs and have the imagination to recognize merit and give to the radio listeners a chance to profit by it. The sponsor, that unfortunate victim who now pays the cost of all radio entertainment, soon will become idea conscious and demand something for his money. The man who beats the sponsor to the draw and supplies programs that render useful service is the man who will become rich in this new industry. Crooners and light chatter artists who now pollute the air with wisecracks and silly giggles will go the way of all light timbers, and their places will be taken by real artists who interpret carefully planned programs which have been designed to service the minds of men as well as provide entertainment. Here is a wide open field of opportunity screaming its protest at the way it is being butchered because of the lack of imagination and begging for rescue at any price. Above all, the thing that radio needs is new ideas, Paul. If this new field of opportunity intrigues you, perhaps you might profit by the suggestion that the successful radio programs of the future will give more attention to creating buyer audiences and less attention to listener audiences. Stated more plainly, the builder of radio programs who succeeds in the future must find practical ways to convert listeners into buyers and or donators. Moreover, the successful producer of radio programs in the future must key his features so that he can definitely show its effect upon the audience. Sponsors are becoming a bit weary of buying glib selling talks based upon statements grabbed out of the thin air. They want, and in the future will demand, indisputable proof that the Who's It program not only gives millions of people the silliest giggle ever, but that the silly giggler can sell merchandise. Another thing that might as well be understood by those who contemplate entertaining this new field of opportunity, radio advertising is going to be handled by an entirely new group of advertising experts, separate and distinct from the old-time newspaper and magazine advertising agency men. The old-timers in this advertising game cannot read the modern radio scripts because they have been schooled to see ideas. The new radio technique demands men who can interpret ideas from a written manuscript in terms of sound. It cost the author a year of hard labor and many thousands of dollars to learn this. Radio, right now, is about where the moving pictures were when Mary Pickford and her curls first appeared on the screen. There is plenty of room in radio for those who can produce or recognize ideas. If the foregoing comment on the opportunities of radio has not started your idea factory to work, I can smell the rubber burning, you had better forget it. Your opportunity is in some other field. If the comment intrigued you in the slightest degree, then go further into it, and you may find the one idea you need to round out your career. Never let it discourage you if you have no experience in radio. Andrew Carnegie knew very little about making steel. I have Carnegie's own word for this. But he made practical use of two of the principles described in this book and made the steel business yield him a fortune. The story of practically every great fortune starts with the day when a creator of ideas and a seller of ideas got together and worked in harmony. Carnegie surrounded himself with men who could do all that he could not do, men who created ideas and men who put ideas into operation and made himself and the others fabulously rich. Millions of people go through life hoping for favorable breaks. Perhaps a favorable break can get one an opportunity, but the safest plan is not to depend upon luck. It was a favorable break that gave me the biggest opportunity of my life, but 25 years of determined effort had to be devoted to that opportunity before it became an asset. The break consisted of my good fortune in meeting and gaining the cooperation of Andrew Carnegie. On that occasion, Carnegie planted in my mind the idea of organizing the principles of achievement into a philosophy of success. Thousands of people have profited by the discoveries made in the 25 years of research, and several fortunes have been accumulated through the application of this philosophy. The beginning was simple. It was an idea which anyone might have developed. The favorable break came through Carnegie, but what about the determination, the definiteness of purpose, and the desire to attain the goal, the persistent effort of 25 years? It was no ordinary desire that survived disappointment, discouragement, temporary defeat, criticism, and the constant reminding of waste of time. It was a burning desire, an obsession. It becomes a part of you. When the idea was first planted in my mind by Mr. Carnegie, it was coaxed, nursed, and enticed to remain alive. Gradually, the idea became a giant under its own power, and it coaxed, nursed, and drove me. Ideas are like that. First, you give life and action and guidance to ideas, then they take on power of their own and sweep aside all opposition. Ideas are intangible forces, but they have more power than the physical brains that give birth to them. They have the power to live on after the brain creates them has returned to dust. For example, take the power of Christianity. That began with a simple idea born in the brain of Christ. Its chief tenet was, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Christ has gone back to the source from whence he came, but his idea goes marching on. Someday it may grow up and come into its own, then it will have fulfilled Christ's deepest desire. The idea has been developing only 2,000 years. Give it time. Success requires no explanations. Failure permits no alibis. That is the end of our chapter. And I'll tell you what, boy, obviously everybody heard me say Paul's name a couple of times through that reading, and also that in the beginning, if it wasn't just literally speaking to me, you know, I'm no different from anybody else on this call. I've had some temporary setbacks happen to me as of late. I won't get into the actual details, but bills that came my way that had to be paid, and when here I thought I had a certain amount of money to get through a certain amount of time in my life, and all of a sudden, you know, things that I own were being threatened, and so I had to pay these bills, and it's just, you know, I had to do it. I had no choice, and I really didn't expect that it was going to be there, and you know, I have all of a sudden come to the realization in this new year that I don't have a whole lot of time. I've got to buckle down. I've got to make the decision. I've got to put an action plan together, and I've got to put my money where my mouth is, basically, and go out there and recruit like crazy. And I know I have a defining purpose, more defining now to this day, right now, January 5th, than I've had in 15 years. And it's so prevalent, it's so much in my mind that my whole thought process, literally from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed at night, is how am I going to pull this off? And then talking to a good friend of ours yesterday, he planted a few seeds in my mind, and we're all talking about Paul Hutchings, and he planted a few seeds in my mind yesterday, and he said, oh, come on, you can do it. If anybody can do it, you can do it. And he said, oh, it's really not that hard. He said, when do you have to have it by? And I said, by March. And he said, well, you'll have it. You'll have it. Just do this, do that, do that, do that, and you'll have it. I said, yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking, and that's what I have to do, and this is how I'm going to go about it. And it's interesting. Yesterday, I was thinking to myself, you know, I had the fear factor. I'm just like everybody else, but people that I'm talking to ask me, how come you have fear? Well, I've been out of it for 15 years, and you know, I really don't want the rejection. Oh, well, I made 10 calls yesterday. I was actually, I kept putting it off and putting it off. I said, okay, I'm going to wait and hear some friends of mine do some prospecting live calls tonight before I do it myself. And I thought, you know what? Come on, man, you have it. You have what it takes. You know how to talk to people. You know how to make friends. So I made 10 calls yesterday afternoon. I'm happy to say I actually picked up the phone that weighed almost 2,000 tons, and I made some calls. Out of those 10 calls, I was able to find two leaders, and I was able to talk to them. And they are checking out my site, and we're going to get back together again today. And then, yeah, and then also on top of that, I made, out of those 10 calls, I made 5 contacts for appointments for today, where I'm meeting with them on the telephone, and they're actually going to go through my site with me. So that's what happens when you take action. The idea has been,
man, you're pumping me up. Keep going.
The idea has been planted. And, you know, and Paul gave me a challenge yesterday. He said, you know how much fun it would be if I could go up on stage at some point and be able to say that Bill Hartranft was scared to death to get on the phone and make calls, and yet he's sponsoring more people than any of us. And so as soon as he planted that idea in my head, I thought, oh, man, how cool would that be? And so I just decided, you know, come on, Bill. You know, okay, yeah, you suffered. You've been through all this crap. Yes, 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 yes. It's time. It's time. Step up. It's not that big a deal. You're a friendly guy. You care about people. Just be honest with them. And I was. And I'm still a little fearful of it today, but you know what? The appointments are there. I'm involved. I'm connected now. I'm hooked up to these people. The 10, you know, the 5 plus the 2, so that's 7 out of 10. That's pretty darn good, 70%. And I'm on my way. I'm on my way to making this happen. And I'll tell you what, why this speaks so heavily to me, what I read today, is because after I was done making those 10 calls And it only took me 2 hours, people. It only took me an hour and a half because I talked considerably for a while investigating and learning their story of the two folks that I did speak to. And these are business leaders in my community, owners of companies in our area that know, I mean, a ton of other leaders. Leaders know leaders. Remember that. And so I found out their stories. They found out my story, and we talked, and we started to create a link, a bond, because I let them talk more than me by asking them questions. And after I was done yesterday, I called Paul to let him know that I wanted to get on his live prospecting calls last night at 6 o'clock with him and Justin Ferengia. And I was going to tell him then, but I didn't want to, you know, defeat the purpose of why I was calling him to be on his prospecting calls, because I wanted to hear them in action. And they were excellent, by the way. They were excellent once they got off advertising their blogging. And the prospecting calls were incredible. As a matter of fact, Paul made one with one lady that while she was driving with her two kids in the car, it was just incredible. She was really a very nice lady, and I'm sure she'll join the system. But I just wanted to share with everybody that yesterday afternoon, I had this reassurance come over me that it's going to happen. I felt it happen. I felt like the money was going to be there, and maybe as early as February, not March. I just felt it come over me, and it was incredible, and it almost tears me up because the bill that I had to pay was very costly, over $15,000. And that was money I'd put aside to live on for, you know, the next 6 months. So it's an incredible feeling. And here I've been following everything to the letter of Think and Grow Rich, not only because I'm doing this call with Paul, but because I'm doing this call for Bill, like you're doing this call for Denise in California and Rick in California and Marcia in Georgia and Bernie in Montana and Cynthia in New York and Denise in Vegas, and I'm sure I left people out, Bill in Virginia, and many others, and you're doing this for yourselves. Follow it. It works. It works. Mr. Hutchings, are you available, sir?
Yeah, I am. amazing. Incredible. I mean, I love what you've said and what you've done and the story that you shared from your experience that you had yesterday. You know, as you were sharing that story of the preacher that got the $1 million, in the middle of the story, you said, "Was this written for me?" And my initial thought was yes, and it was written for me, and it was written for everybody on this call.
Right.
Because the principles that story conveys, that you've demonstrated with your story, what you did yesterday, they're universal. They work every time. They work for every person, and you need to hear them again and again and again and again. You know, Napoleon said in one of the chapters we read yesterday or the day before, he said, read this book all the way through at least 3 times, but because by then you won't want to stop reading it. And that's how I feel. Like, we'll read this. I'll read this over and over and over, because every time I hear these stories, it just re-embeds into my mind and into my soul these principles of – Think and Grow Rich. And a couple of the things that I just wanted to touch on that you've illustrated with what you've done is making a decision. You know, the preacher in that story, he'd thought about that $1 million for 2 years, but when he finally made the decision, it came to him within 24 hours. Now, that's amazing.
Right.
There's a line in the book that says, facts are stranger than fiction. Well, folks, that's a fact that is, to me, stranger than fiction, that a guy can make a decision to get $1 million and have it happen within 24 hours. Now, will that happen for all of us that fast? I don't know. It could. Most likely, it'll probably take a little bit longer. But the important points remain. When you make a decision to get what you want, when you have that defining purpose, when you say to yourself like Bill did, hey, I need X amount of dollars, and I'm making a decision that I'm going to get it, what happens, there's a lot of things that happen that I can't explain, but one thing that I can that I think is really relevant to point out here is that the moment you make the decision, you stop looking for ways to get out, and you only look for ways to move forward. And that's key. That's critical. So many people say, well, I'd like to have this money, and I hope this works for me. Well, what happens when you go into it with that kind of a mindset is you're actually looking for ways and looking for reasons that it won't work for you. And as soon as you see those things, as soon as you see a little setback come, you say, oh, I knew it. It wasn't going to work. And then you quit. But when you make the decision, when you make the I love that word, decision, decide. When you plant your flag in the sand and in ground and you say, that's it. I'm taking a stand. I'm going to get this no matter what. Well, what happens is you only now look for ways to get there. And when little setbacks come, when something comes that is not in line with what you want, you recognize it for what it is, which is a temporary setback, and you kick it out of the way and you don't let it stop you and you keep moving forward. So just a really powerful story. Bill, I love what you did yesterday. You made a decision, you took action, and my gosh, amazing, amazing numbers. I mean, you call 10 people and you get 7 positive, extremely positive. I mean, that's a 70, that's unheard of. I mean, that's unheard of. That's almost like the guy getting $1 million within 24 hours, really. I mean, to make 10 phone calls, and the very same day you make the 10 phone calls, you get 7 positive responses. That's a miracle in and of itself. So I don't have anything else to say. I love you. I'm so glad that you are having this experience, and I want all of us to have experiences like these, and we all will if we take the time to really learn what this book is teaching us and do what get on this call every day, get the book, read it again, read it again, read it again, read it until you understand it, okay? I still don't understand it fully, and that's why I'm going to read this book for the rest of my life, but I understand it enough. I'll tell you this, I understand it enough that I'm seeing miracles in my life, continued miracles. I understand it enough that now when I made my decision for 2012 for an income goal that 2 years ago would have seemed ridiculous, it would have seemed like, Paul, you want $1 million within 24 hours, that kind of ridiculous. Now I've made that decision, and I know it's going to come to me. I know it is because I understand these principles enough to know that they work, okay? So, Bill, anything you want to add here before we open up the lines? That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Paul. Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, I used to preach all the time in all my conference trainings that your success is a decision away. And so I had to kind of, you know, I had to kind of eat my own words yesterday and say, darn it all, Bill Hartranft, you have it all in you. You have just as much as anybody else, and all you have to do is get over the fact of the fear factor, not to be behind any show on TV or anything like that, but my own fear factor, and you just have to get back into it. And I remember I put myself back into Kissimmee, Florida, back at the same desk that I still have to this day. I have a different answering system and phone system. And I cleaned up my desk, I organized it, I got myself situated, I finally organized the things that I needed to organize, and I worked on putting a few words on paper of what I'd say if I get caught in something, or not caught, but if, you know, if all of a sudden my mind goes blank and somebody's talking or asking questions about something, how I would answer, a few little teaser points that I would put out there. I decided I wasn't going to explain the entire program on the phone, that I was just there to build relationships, and who's best at that but me? And that's what I did. And after I was done, I made the decision to make 10 calls no matter what. And I made it up in my mind that I may get 9 rejections or 10. But then when I spoke to one, the very first one I called was intrigued. The very second one I called was intrigued. And the three of us built up great rapport and great respect and great relationships. And those two calls took the majority of the time. The rest of the calls were, well, I don't have the time right now today to look at what you're offering me, but I will be able to look at it tomorrow. And I gave them the option of tomorrow and or Monday, and they said no, tomorrow. And that was five of them. So, I mean, it was just after I was done, and even though I got the no's and I'm not interested from the other three, I had seven appointments. And that was huge. It's 70%. So probably out of that 70%, maybe only three or four or two. But that's fine. That's way better than what I expected. So your success is only a decision away. My back is against the wall because of this bill I had to pay. And if I'm going to live the kind of lifestyle that I like to enjoy without pulling out funds out of my retirement and taking a huge, huge, huge penalty of 25% or more, I've got to get going. And so my decision was to do just that. And I feel really good about it. And so today, instead of spending 2 hours, I'm going to spend three or four doing the same thing I was doing yesterday and then following up with those appointments that I have made from yesterday. So all I can say is that I'm just like everybody else on this call. I'm like a newborn baby starting out. And, yeah, I do have some experience from the past, and I'll put that experience to use. And I even felt some of it coming to the surface yesterday from the past. And we all have this in us, especially those that have lived a little bit longer than Mr. Hutchings say. So, Paul, I hand the call over to you, my friend. I just I can't tell you how excited I am and thrilled. And, hey, now I'm hooked in. I have to pick up the phone. I have appointments.
Love it, love it. One final thought, and then we'll open up the call. You said in that story you shared something that I think is important to point out. Napoleon said hard work and honesty alone will bring – some people believe that hard work and honesty alone will be bring riches. Perish the thought, he said. I've talked to some people who have this belief that, well, if you just do what's right, you know, God's going to bless you with wealth. Bull. There are principles you have to know and understand. And just a quick illustration, if you run out to a field and you look at the ground, if a farmer runs out to a field and looks at the ground and says, ground, I've been a good person. Could you please bring me some corn? I need some corn. Well, the ground isn't going to bring you anything. The ground looks back at the farmer and says, bring me your seed. Don't bring me your need. Bring me your seed. So perish the thought of just be a good person and things will happen for me. It's not true. If God were to bless people just based on their need, there wouldn't be any needy people, folks. So we have to make sure that we recognize any false beliefs that we have. We have to eradicate them, and we have to replace them beliefs that are in harmony with the truth and in harmony with reality. And that's partly what we're doing with this call and with this book, Think and Grow Rich. Do I agree with everything Napoleon says? Probably not. There are some things that Napoleon says that maybe are out of harmony with my belief system. But I'll tell you, the majority of the things he says in this book are completely in harmony with the law. And where did the law come from? The universe, God, you know, the creator, whatever you want to call it. I didn't create the law. The law's here. We're all here working with the law, okay? So it makes sense for us to understand the law and apply it. And that's it. Let me go ahead and open up the lines here. Okay, my friend, star 6 to unmute your line here. We'll have a little bit of discussion if you so choose.
Hi, Paul.
Yes.
Hi, Bill. This is Linda.
Hi.
I just want to stress how important these calls are. This morning, listening to you, Bill, that is such inspiration for all of us because, you know, we can read about people that go through the same situations, but to actually talk to them and to be able to communicate with them, as I call it, live, it's so much more power that it brings to us. And I just wanted to say that I am so addicted to these calls. It's like my jolts of Java in the morning that I don't want to miss them. It's become a part of me, you know. And I just wanted to say how inspiring this call is this morning, Bill, and congratulations to you. And thanks
God
for the inspiration.
God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing that. I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, even talking to our host, he's had so much success, and it's like, the negative thoughts would enter my mind and say, oh, my gosh, with all I've been through, how am I ever going to get that back? And I had to stop looking back and just make the decision that, God, you've got everything it takes to do this. Just do it. Just do it. And I really got mad at myself, but it was positive anger. And it's just like, gosh, just get yourself back involved again. You'll be fine. And, I was talking to another guy across lines in our same company, but another promoter. And, he even said to me, he said, just hang up with me and get on the horn and start being yourself. Just be yourself. Be honest with people. And don't feed them a line of, just tell them the truth and say what you're planning on doing. You're building a team. I said I'm creating 13. I'm going after 13 leaders of the community. And I used to teach people how to make between $5,000 and $50,000 a month. And I'm going to be doing the same thing again with 13 leaders from my community. And I went to the Chamber of Commerce. I made a challenge to another friend of mine that's also in the same company I'm in, and I told him to do the same thing I was doing and that we would both set the amount of people for 15 for the month of January, and we're both racing each other. So now there's a challenge, and this was Paul's suggestion, by the way, and I took it to heart, and I went for it. Even though the guys crossed line, I couldn't care less. It's just going to be fun racing him. And now I have a challenge, and now, I'm going after something even more valuable than just out of fun with him. And what it's going to do, it's going to drive both of us to succeed. And he's already making calls, and that phone was so heavy for him too, but when he heard that I'd made 10 calls yesterday and he'd only made about three, he said, well, I'm going to up you tomorrow. And so that fires me even more. So it's very exciting. And I feel like a completely different and new person today, as opposed to all the fear and all the concern and all the, self-denying that I was doing to myself. It's really an incredible feeling.
Hey, Paul and Bill, Rick Pelton down in Florida. How are you?
Awesome.
Hey, Rick. Doing great.
Hey, Paul, it's good to hear your voice again. How are things up in Idaho there?
They are wonderful. A little frosty, but it's beautiful here in Idaho.
Bill, enjoyed following along on the computer. I bring up Think and Grow Rich and following along and it's like rereading it again for the, I don't know what time, but always get something new out of it. And, Bill, I like what you said. And, Paul, this is my first time on this call, and I have to tell you, down here in Florida, as we all know, is there's a lot of great things happening and all over the country and different companies, different businesses, and Think and Grow Rich has always been the foundation. And so I'm going to try and be on this call. Not try, I'm going to be on this call every morning. And get a little bit of information every day. So, Bill and Paul, thank you so much. Rick Pelton signing off in Florida.
Appreciate you, Rick. Thanks so much. Welcome.
Yeah,
glad to have you.
Rick Pelton knows well that Idaho is not the only frosty place in the country these days. Florida's been pretty frosty, too.
Yeah,
thanks, Rick.
We tasted that a couple nights ago. We had a little taste of that, and I thought about what are my friends in Utah and Idaho doing about this time. They're probably down at about zero where I'm at 32. Wow.
Right, exactly. But thanks, Rick. Really appreciate your words. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Hello, Paul and Bill. This is Mary Bolin from Texas.
Hey,
Mary.
The famous Mary Bolin. Welcome to the call.
Thanks. And I got the chance to talk to Bill yesterday for a little while, and it was really, really good. I really liked it. And I loved the way he said, being the fear of just reaching out and doing it, calling. Because I had the same fear when I first started. I was like, gosh, I hate the cold call. I hate to call people. I hate. And then I just got up one day and I said, 124 is going to make this happen. but I also have to get up and do something about it. And I just started going for it, you know. And now I like making the calls. I like it. It's fun. but you know,
it
I think so
fun.
Many people, so many people have that fear to begin with. But you know what? You just got to do it. It doesn't matter if you're afraid. Who cares if you're afraid? Do it anyway. And I say that all the time to people. You know, oh, I'm afraid. Who cares? Do it anyway. You'll get better at it. You'll get good at it. And, you know, you got to make them follow-up calls. That somebody that didn't call you back that said they're interested. You know they are interested, but they have the same fear. They need more information. It's your job to give it to them. And that's, you know, you just got to call them back and you just got to go for it and do it and never, ever look back. You know, ever since everything started happening for me, I never look back. I'm always looking forward. What can I do next? What do I need to do next? What would be fun to do next? I mean, you just never look back, and you just keep going, and you keep going. It gets funner and funner. I just love 124, and I've learned so much, you know. And you've got to keep teaching yourself, and you ask people that are having success with it and what they're doing, and then you have to actually do it. You can't just ask somebody what they're doing. You got to actually, you know, learn from them and then go do it. Go do it.
You know, people may be wondering, too, so was yesterday Bill's first attempt at calling people? The difference between yesterday for me and the people that I'd already sponsored in 124 is that the people that I've sponsored in 124, I already had relationships with. So what I did yesterday is what I've told everybody on the call a couple of days ago to do, is to go to their local chamber of commerce and leaders, no leaders, and then create a round table of 13, and technically I only need 12, but I always will go for an extra one or two or three because you'll need them, and at least for our program. And, I mean, our program says you can sponsor three, and they sponsor three, and you're off to the races, and you'll retire within 24 months, but for me to create the type of income that I need to create in order to continue to live my life the way I want to live it was the 13 at the round table. And that really, you know, here I'm calling on business folks of our community, mom and pop organizations. I didn't call big corporations, not yet anyway, but mostly mom and pops and a catering company and a fishing company, a jet ski company. I had something in common with the jet ski guy, and he was like all into this, and he was my second one. And so, I'm fired up. These were cold calls. The last time I actually did cold calling, real cold calling, was at the age of 19 when I was trying to become a stockbroker. And my boss put a book in front of me of 100,000 and up earners and told me to make 100 calls a day, and I never did. I never was able to do over 70. That was just one good day. And that's very hard to do. And I had to kind of, you know, transmute back from those days into my soul that, you know, if you're honest with people and you practice humility and you're humble, and you say, listen, I've done this before. I went through, my own story. I went through 15 years of recovery from an incident that happened. And so I'm a little green behind the ears at this, but I have done it before, and I can show you how to do it. And they responded to that. So if you're honest with people and you're upfront with people and you're kind and loving and thoughtful and considerate and you treat others the way you want to be treated, they're going to respond to that. And, you know, I was talking to another young lady yesterday, not a cold call, but another person in 124 that said, you know, when she contacted people, that she kind of contacted them, hey, you know, you want to check this out? And I said to her, I said, that's not going to do it. You've got to show that you're positive about this. You're excited about it because positive attracts positive. Misery loves company. So positive attracts positive. So they can hear it in your voice. If you're calling people up just to obtain money from them, they can hear that in your voice. But if you call them up saying, I want to help 13 leaders create a roundtable effect that are going to create between $5,000 and $50,000 a month in the next 18 to 24 months, you want to hear my one-minute story? And my one-minute story is just go to my website. I don't get into explaining anything. I just want you to take a look at my website. It'll take 5 minutes of your time. If you don't like what you see, then see you later. No big deal. I'll call you in another, 10 weeks. that's it. That's all I did. But then we started, you know, I started asking questions about their business. Obviously, their business and what they're doing is something that they love. At least hopefully you hope that's what it is. And that's how I approach them. And I ask them questions. How long have you been catering? Or how long have you been renting jet skis? And, oh, yes, I've ridden jet skis. As a matter of fact, recently I just rented some over Christmas vacation. And so instant icebreakers, people. You know, look at their card and look at what they do and ask them questions about that. Get them talking about themselves. What do people know more about than anything else in the world but themselves? You get people talking about themselves, you create a link, you create a bond, and it grows from there. Paul?
Yes, it does. Great information. I'm going to go ahead and end the call. We're 50 minutes here, so... everybody, thank you for joining us this morning. If you're listening into the recording, thank you for investing a little time in yourself. I know I've been inspired. I know Bill has been inspired, and everyone on the call, really. And that's why we do these. Get inspired, learn principles, learn things that we can take action on. So on that note, let's get out there today. Let's have faith in ourselves, faith in our goal. Take action. Don't be discouraged. Move forward. As Mary Boland said, keep your eye on the road rather than on the rearview mirror. You look in the rearview mirror, as Rick said the other day, you take your foot off the gas. So keep your eye on the road. Move forward. Love you guys. We'll see you back on tomorrow morning. Thanks again, Bill. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Make it a great day, people.